Good to have you guys here tonight, and we are calling this contagious, and this is what it's going to look like as we walk through the next 3 weeks. We are looking for you to be able to take some assessment of where you've been at and where you're headed, and God, what can I be doing with some of what I'm learning, both through Romans chapters 6 and 7 and through this 3 weeks? Lord, help me start getting very real in you changing me. Contagious. You on fire. That's what we're going after, all right? So love this class. We have like 220-some people, almost 230 signed up for this, and some still rolling in. I know we're still working out details, and some of you are going to be paying at some other time. That's all great, whatever with that. We wanted to make sure we got you in here, and let's make sure we really get into this, all right? So let me open in prayer, and then we're going to start in. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just take this moment to take a deep breath. Between the busyness of work and the stuff of life and all that can distract, Lord, may we just set that down. May we now hear from you. Teach us, Lord, as we spend some time in your word, as we spend some time talking about concepts that maybe we've heard before, maybe we've never heard them before. Lord, may you truly have control of our lives now. We look for you to be worshiped. It's in your name we pray these things. Amen. Amen. All right. So I feel like it's Sunday morning because most of you kind of have close to your regular spots. Nice job. That's really appreciated there. Here's what we're going to do. Myself and Pastor Steve Downs, we're going to be kind of splitting this teaching up over the next 3 weeks and kind of sharing that as we walk through. And my excitement, my passion is to make sure we get very, very practical. All right? Let's get some real hardcore touch on what we need to be going after. So the goal is not to try to walk away with some notes that can prove, oh, I knew that already. Right? Our goal is to walk away going, hey, here's some things I already kind of knew, but let's press in on some areas where maybe I hadn't thought about it that way. I need to get a fresh think to this. Lord, take me on here and let's see some change. All right? Let's come in as students of this. Students looking for change, all right? That's our goal. All right, that said, let's just break this down. First, our goal. Harvest style, we've got a bunch of fill-in-the-blanks here for you, all right? So our goal, number one, fired up. Fired up. The least transformational moment you're going to have is when you're dragging feet, complaining about, listing off all the things that are wrong, and trying to get through life just by slugging it out. All right, that is not fired up. Everybody say, that's not fired up. That is not fired up. And our goal is fired up. So what does that mean? It means this. Lord, I'm looking for you to take over in my soul. I'm looking for you to have your way with me in the midst of what we're going to be going through. I don't even know what that means yet, God, but it's time. It's time for you to have a hold of this. And so I'm handing it to you. Fired up. All right? That's the first piece. Second, white hot. White hot. You've heard me use this term before a little bit, and I just want to be careful with it. The illustration is simply this. With grilling, some of us use charcoal grills. Some of us, how many of you are charcoal guys? All right, not many. It's an art that's being lost because you can just turn on the gas grill and move on, right? So charcoal grilling. Just so you know, the best way to charcoal grill is to get your charcoals. I'm not a charcoal guy at all. So this is what I'm told. Is to get your charcoal absolutely heated up white hot. You take a tower and you put just a few charcoals in it and some paper in it and you light that and you get those things just piping hot, white hot. And then you pull the tower off and it falls down and you start putting some black coals next to it and they all start heating up. And then you put a few more with it and they just start heating up. And the goal is white hot at the center and bring the black charcoals around it and it just starts firing up all those around you. Hey, when we start talking about contagious, it starts with you fired up, white hot for Jesus Christ. You're in the tower. You're being heated up, and the few are getting a massive amount of infusion of heat. And then as you pull off the tower and others come around you, they start getting heated up as well. All right? White hot. That's what we're looking for. You fired up, you white hot. And just so you know, what comes after that? Contagious. The white hot starts touching the black around it, and it starts heating it up, and it shares that heat on. Just so you know, if you take one white hot coal and put it down, and you put like 10,000 black coals over it, yeah, it just kills the heat, right? So there has to be a balance to this. The goal is not one little white hot in the middle of a ton of people who don't get anything. There has to be some sort of balancing where we're getting heat and we're getting those seeking after finding what that looks like. And that combination and good balance really grows you. Just so you know, that's impact groups. That's a lot of what we're trying to go after there. And so some of you are like white hot at the middle of your impact group. You're at the center of that. Some of you are trying to figure out what that means, and you're getting heated up by those around you. And that's the plan. Okay? And so impact groups, a big part of it. We have 11 impact groups in this tonight. 11 impact groups who have committed to being here with their people, okay? That's a huge deal. Great to have all you guys with. And for those not in impact groups, man, it is great to have you here tonight, and we would love to get you into an impact group over time, all right? So fired up, white hot, contagious. That's our goal. That's what we're going after at a top level, okay? How are we going to get there? Our method. Our method. So number one, your whole self investment. A whole self investment. What does that mean? It means not just a part of you, not just some of you, not just the part that you like to exercise, but all of you in on this. And some of it might hurt a little bit to go after. Like, I don't really like doing that. It stretches me a lot. And that's usually where God's going to be working the most. Right? We get into a rhythm where we tend to think and act and react in very regular ways. And that rhythm we would call us. Well, that's who I am, right? But in essence, we're also leaving big holes then in what we're going after. And some stuff then that God isn't speaking into. He sort of lets us sit on that for a season. And God doesn't just push us through it and say, well, we want to have him grow anyway. He teaches us to set our will aside. That means we have to stretch ourselves a little bit on this, okay? So be ready for some stretching challenge as we move through it, all right? Not just going after what we're used to, but even some of what we're not used to. And let's see what God does. Whole self investment. Number two, head, heart, and will. For those of you who have been around for a while, you know this, but I talk on Sunday mornings when we preach here. We inform the head, stir the heart, challenge the will. That's what we're doing every Sunday morning. Inform the head as we walk through a passage of Scripture. We're trying to get the details and the facts out about it as we exposit through that passage. Inform the head. Then stir the heart. There may be some illustrations we share, challenges to what it can look like. Stir the heart, kind of getting you excited about what that could be like, the fired up, right? And then challenge the will. So what am I going to do about that? At the end of each point, there's usually a time where I'm saying, so how about you? And so where are you going with that? And what does that look like for you taking notes on? Inform the head, stir the heart, challenge the will. That's that whole self-investment. I don't know, Tim. I like to think. I'm a thinker. I like informing the head. That stir the heart stuff. Not really for me. That's leaving a hole in what you're going after in God. Not the whole self there. And so let's go after that. Or, hey, I love being emotional. I'll be emotional with the best of them. That head stuff. And so let's dig in where we need to dig in, and let's really go after a rounding out of all of it, all right? And inform the head, stir the heart, challenge the will. That's the second piece. And then the third part of the method here, spirit-empowered transformation. Spirit-empowered transformation. This is everything. Everything to the change. Spirit-empowered transformation. If we don't get that, we will be frustrated for a lifetime here. Spirit-empowered transformation. So what do we mean by it? Let's make it clear with some pictures. So go ahead and throw the first pick up. So this picture here is making clear what we're talking about with the mind and the flesh and the spirit. And we've talked about this in the past, all right? The mind, the flesh, and the spirit. And so in the top is your mind, your control center, right? The flesh is on the left that kind of grabs a hold of you. And it's that thing speaking to you about what you want and what's good for you and what'll feel good for you, right? Flesh, it's the banging on you of just the feel-goods, what looks good, what feels good, what shows me off, right? Coming out of 1 John chapter 2. And that's the flesh piece. The spirit is that part of you, the Holy Spirit taking up residence within. He begins to transform the spirit, our value system. He begins to renew the mind, the way we prioritize, the way we think, and the spirit doing that transformation work, all right? This is a simplicity of the look. You've seen this on Sundays if you've been with us. Next pick. Okay, so here we go. Worship and the word and will. And we've got some the truth piece there. If you see the worship and the truth and the will, when you look at these right now, the goal here is to grasp the whole of it. You see on the top, heart and soul. See that? Heart and soul. And then on the bottom left, the mind and then the strength. With all my heart and soul and mind and strength. Okay? So that's what it looks like for you to go after this holistically. Just so you know, you're going to usually go after it with one of those. Which one is that for you? Like, which one do you typically see? Well, I really like that heart and soul. I just love the being stirred up, the time alone with God, my hearing from Him, my thinking from Him, and just kind of spending that time in confession and whatever. Truth, I just love getting into the Word. Man, if I can get into the Word, that's, or will. Man, if you're not doing anything, what's it worth anyway? And so we better be after the, you're one of those probably predominantly, and bringing out the other two to round it out, super important, okay? The head, the heart, and the will, and breaking it down here into the Luke chapter 10 passage, with all your heart and soul and mind and strength is how we're called to love our Lord and Savior, all right? With all our heart and soul and mind and strength. Let's flip to the next slide here. So if you notice, we've got the word truth that's up here on the slide. You've got the word word in your book. I just want you to know, we said truth, and so I had a few people coming up with statements like this. So like kind of whatever the church tells you, be careful with that, right? Because all of a sudden we start saying like the traditions and the viewpoints and the values and the, look, we're talking truth as per God's word. What does God's word have to say? And we're going to hear more about that tonight as Steve goes through it. That's the piece we're going to be focusing on for the other half of this evening. So let's just break this out. At the top, worship. See how it says, the glory of the Lord transforms us. The glory of the Spirit, the Lord Himself in charge of us, that Holy Spirit in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 16 to 18, the glory of that Spirit pouring through us is what changes us. Did you know that? You don't change you. The Spirit changes you. And so every moment you're wrestling with wanting something different and it's not changing, that's a moment where you've been wrestling with you trying to change you, and the Spirit's got to do some work there. All right? So that's our worship statement. It is the firepower system at the center of it. That's going to be the heart and soul center of getting after this, is that worship element. We're going to be doing a piece of that next week. All right? Big deal. So down in the bottom left, kind of our anchor point is the Word. The Word. And it is sufficient to equip from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. The word is absolutely essential to get to the bottom of what God's trying to say to you. Please be careful. I hear this a lot, and you know I've got a little pet peeve on the Lord told me. And chapter and verse, please. Chapter and verse, please. All right, we're going to be pretty big on that. Be very careful. I'm great with the relationship with God and with Him stirring and Him opening doors and closing doors. We'll talk about that in the worship piece. But I'm telling you, God's word needs to be a primary director for us. We've got to get truth from there. And you're like, how is this different than anything I've ever heard? You're going to hear that in just a little bit. There's a very important approach to the word that has to happen, or it's not going to get it done. Okay? Absolutely essential in the way we approach the word, or it's not going to be transforming. And then the last piece is the will. Train yourself unto godliness. Train yourself unto godliness. Comes out of 1 Timothy 4. Have you ever heard this phrase? Let go, let God. You ever heard that phrase? A few head nods. Let go and let God. Okay, that came out of a group of people that were excellent at doing the word and the will. They were awesome at it. They really worked hard. They knew the word, and then they really tried to work hard. But they were still not having breakout. And they ended up realizing they needed to let go and let God. They were now emphasizing the worship aspect. that broke them out. It gave them this holistic approach to the thing. And as they went after it, God did an amazing work in them. All right? And there's another battle cry out there. Exercise yourself unto godliness. Where'd that come from? Well, that came from a group of people that really knew the word and worship well, but they weren't getting very strong and going after things in their life and specific sin they needed to let go of. And so those guys created a battle cry. Come on, man, get after it. Are you hearing it? Each group kind of created a battle cry around what their weak spot was. You're going to need to create that battle cry for you. What's your weak spot? What are you going after? And maybe it's one or two of these things. Maybe a couple of them are firing and just one is missing. You're going to have to be figuring that out. God, what do I need to really be holistically going after that? Okay? If you don't go after it holistically, you will hit a top. You will hit a top. And it'll hurt. And it'll lag. And what's going on with that? The simple 5 second, this is what's going on. God's saying, I'm going to let you wrestle with that a little. I'm going to release my manifest presence. I'm going to pour my glory out on you as you start to get and let go of and you start coming with me on. And yet at the same time, you're cooperating with me in and you're getting this balance happening of the word and your actions and your worship all coming together. Okay? So that sounds real kind of top level fuzzy, and you're going to have to start digging in on it with us as we walk through each of these pieces. This is a lot of what we've been saying on Sundays. I just want to say this. Let's throw the last pickup. So you've heard me say the word muscling it, right? That's on the bottom. That's like, I've got the truth. Now I'm just going to go do it. I'm just going to make that happen, right? And that's what we call muscling it. And it isn't going to get it done. Everybody say, that's not going to get it done. It's not. And most of us have lived there for a lot of our lives. I've read the Bible. Now I'm trying to do the Bible. Why isn't it working, man? And here's what's going wrong. You're trying to transform yourself. And it's not going to happen. Okay? So you can see some little victories, some little shaping. But until the glory of the Spirit pouring over you, and we're going to talk about how that starts to happen. But until that's happening, you are not basking in the manifest presence of God. You are not having Him do a work in you. You're trying to do a work in you. And you're only going to see some little victories, not massive. All right? This little triangle is all about transformation. It is all about addressing the sin in your life and getting breakout. What sin are you struggling with? What stuff has you down and you wish you could just get victory over it? You got it in your mind? Or a couple of them? All right. Now it's time to say, God, break out on those, please. I want to see victory over that. Not because I just muscle it, but because you shape the whole thing. May your glory do an amazing work in me as I hand this over to you. What do I do for that? That's what we're going to be talking about here, okay? No muscling it. No misguided, just kind of no word. We're heading off. We're going to try some things. May God's word anchor us. May we be worshiping Him the whole time. And execute our will into alignment with that and watch God do some breakout victory. All right? It's that simple. And I'm just going to tell you, I had somebody come up to us. We were teaching Peak on Sunday night. And we had about 80 people in here for Peak on Sunday, which is awesome. Huge Peak performance this time. And one of the persons came up to me and said, hey, just so you know, this whole muscling it thing. So I came in and I hadn't heard it, and I heard it about 3 weeks ago, and I'm like, oh, that's such a good thing. I got to not muscle it. I'm not going to muscle it anymore. That's it. And so I went home and I'm like, I got this thing. No more muscling it. And so I was muscling, not muscling it. And by the end of the week, I'm like, I can't do this. It's not working. And I came back in, and then we're preaching again and we're reminding to muscling and not doing that. And the Spirit has to do the transforming. Like, oh, that's right. Okay. this week you can have it, God. I'm not going to muscle that. You do the muscling and I'll give it to you. And halfway through the week, you get right back to your old rigor of, no way, I can get this. I'm going to, right? And by the third week, she came in and she said, she welled up with tears and she's like, I'm telling you, God's doing a really cool thing. I'm starting to learn that I have to have him do the work. But he's helping me get it and understand and cooperating with him along the way. It's pretty simple and very complex because we lie to ourselves a lot. And so really working this thing through, talking it out, letting God have his way with you. And let's watch God do an amazing work. Amen? All right, that's where we're headed. I'm handing it over to Steve. Tonight we're going to go with Anchor on the Word.
Well, good evening, everybody. It is my joy and privilege to see and spend time with you. I got to tell you the truth. I always have a little rebellion streak in me. I just rebel. If there's a parking spot, I take up two. Just because it's a psychological operation, I'm trying to rebel. The cold air, I'm trying to rebel. Okay? I struggle with things. What do you struggle with? Do you struggle in your faith? Do you struggle with sin? Do you feel like sometimes you're just totally burnt out and you can't do it anymore and you need to be rejuvenated? You need to be set on fire? Is that just me? Am I the only guy that struggles? So what do you do when you struggle? What do you do when you're struggling? Can I give you the key? I'll give you the key of tonight summed up in one sentence. We can say this. If you get this, we can go home. Okay, here's the key. Here's what you need to get fired up. A clearer view of God. Period. I'll say that again. Here's what you need to get fired up. A clearer view of God. Job lost everything. Job lost his children. Job lost his possessions. Yet Job worshiped. Because by Job 38, he had a clear view of God. You guys remember Peter? Peter, the guy who denied Christ, went back to fishing. When it came time for him to die, he says, No. You're going to hang me. You're going to kill me. Don't put me on the cross and kill me the way you killed my Savior. I'm not worthy of that. Turn me upside down and do it. Was that man on fire? He was. What was it that made him get on fire? He had a clear view of Christ. He saw the risen Lord. What about Isaiah? You guys remember Isaiah? The fifth gospel of the Old Testament? He preached it. He lived it. He did whatever God called him to do. Why? What was it that he had that I didn't? Isaiah 6, a clear view of God. That's what we need to get fired up. What do we need to get fired up? Did you write it down? Yes. Good. We need a clear view of God. And unless God's going to take you to the third heaven in this life, or unless God's going to all of a sudden appear, which I don't think he is, how are we going to get a clear view of God? How does God reveal himself today? How does God show us who he is today? It's through the Word, right? We get a clear view of God through the Word. God has revealed himself in the Word. And nothing fires me up like the Word, because nothing gives me a clearer view of God than the Word. So do you want to get fired up? Yes. We'll just get started with the Word. Started with the Word. See, the Word tells us who God is. The Word tells us how to worship God, how to live for him. The Word tells us how to live like Christ. It instructs us and equips us to do that. See, we start with the Word. Why? First and foremost, because the Word of God is authoritative. The Word of God is authoritative. That means God's Word has the ultimate and final say on everything it speaks to. When God's Word speaks, God's Word is the final say on the issue. God's Word is authoritative. God's Word is also sufficient. God's Word is sufficient. It means God's Word has all the truth we need to follow him. God's Word has all the truth we need to live for him. To live for him. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is inspired and profitable so that you may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. How much of scripture? All of it. So that you may be equipped for what good work? Every good work. Every page in here is useful to you. Every page in here can tell you something about God. Every page in here is something that God can use to ram your life to a totally different level. And it's so that you can be thoroughly equipped to live for him. God's Word is authoritative. It is sufficient. And thirdly, guys, folks, beloved, God's Word is complete. God's word is complete. It means God's word has everything or all that will be revealed doctrinally. What do I mean by that? There's no more information that God wants us to know about his character that's not revealed in here. Jude 3 says that the faith has now been delivered once and for all to all the saints. The faith, the doctrine, the truth of who God is, how one gets saved, how we overcome sin, everything you need to know for a life of godliness, a life to live for Christ, has been given to us. I remember I tell my kids, okay, my oldest is 5 years old. I leave him at home. I say, I'm going to order you a pizza. I'm just kidding. But imagine if they were that young. I said, I'm going to order you a pizza. You're going to have a delivery guy. He's going to order the pizza. Open the door for this one person. The pizza's been delivered at 8:30 because my kids like to stay up late. 10, 11 o'clock at night, there's another guy at the door. He knocks. And he says, I'm a delivery man. I ordered the pizza. What do you think I'm going to tell my kid? The pizza's already been delivered. Don't open the door because whatever's coming in is not good. The Word of God, everything we need to know about God, everything we need to know to live a life for godliness, everything we need to know to live and have a clear view of Him, it's already been delivered, right? God's Word is authoritative, it's sufficient, it's complete. And fourthly, God's Word is powerful. It's the tool that the Spirit uses to transform us. It's the tool that the Holy Spirit uses to transform us. Psalm 19, 7 through 8. Says that it's the Word of God is perfect, restoring the soul. The Word of God, it restores us. It encourages us, right? God uses it to transform us. I believe God wrote a book. And it goes from Genesis to Revelation. It's life instruction manual. I had some trouble with my car the other day. And I took it in. Before I took it in, I said I wanted to try and fix it. Fix it by myself. That's a very dangerous thing, okay? The instruction manual told me to do it one way. I wanted to do it another way. Is that a good plan? Why? Because the ones who designed the car, the ones who built the car, the ones who knew the car, wrote the instruction manual for me to work and enjoy and to drive the car and to fix the car when there's problems, right? And when I say, I know the instruction manual, he tells me to use gasoline, but I think water's so much cheaper. Is that a good plan? No. Because when the one who made it speaks about what it needs, the one who made it is right. And when God who made us speaks to us what we need, is God right? You better believe it is, right? God wrote a book. He's our creator. And this is our life manual. So what's your authority in life, folks? What is it you go to? What is it you go to when you have questions? Where do you run to when you need help, when you need encouragement? How is your worship defined? Is it defined by the Word of God? How is your life defined? When you say, I'm going to live my life, I'm going to define it by certain principles and patterns, what do you base it off of? So what are some things people base it off of? Here are three things people base their life on other than the Word of God. Friends, the world, advice from others. They say, oh, what do you think about this? And they give me good advice. Hey, that's good advice. I never check it with the Word of God. There's another thing people listen to other than the Word of God. Circumstance or practicality, right? It just works out better that way. I won't have to pay taxes if I don't report it, right? It just works out better. In the end, it doesn't work out better, right? Circumstance, practicality is not the standard of how we're to live our life. It is not how we're to get a clearer view of God. It is not how we're going to live a life for God's glory. It's not how we're going to live a life to be like Christ. Here's a third thing people listen to other than the Word of God. It's their emotions. I just feel this way. I just feel right about this. It just feels right. Well, if it goes against God's Word, is it right? It don't matter how we feel, right? So Hannah, my little daughter Hannah, she loves corn dogs. Loves corn dogs. And when me and Hannah, we were young, when she was younger, we'd always go, we'd go back and place California. You guys ever heard of Wiener Schnitzels? Anybody have Wiener Schnitzels out? Where's the Wiener Schnitzel? You've been holding out on me? There's Wiener Schnitzels out here? And you have Wiener Schnitzels out in California. They're everywhere. So me and Hannah, we'd go get Wiener Schnitzels. I'd say, Hannah, you want to get a corn dog? She's like, yeah, Daddy, let's go get a corn dog. And I'll be driving to the corn dog. And Hannah's telling me, Daddy, it's over there. My 2-year-old is telling me where the place is. It's over there, and I know exactly where. It's straight down Beach Boulevard to the left, off of Magnolia, and three restaurants in. There it is. And she's telling me it's all the way up down there in Beach Boulevard. I said, what are you talking about, Hannah? It's this way. And Hannah's telling me, no, Daddy, I know the way. First of all, if there's anybody that knows where corn dogs is at, I'm the man. Okay, I'm the authority where to get a corn dog. Hannah, don't tell me. You don't even know north from south. You don't even know left from right. Hannah is not the authority on this. I'm the authority. God's word is the authority for our life. God's word is what we need to be seeking after. We need to start with the word. Second, guys, we also need to trust the word. We need to trust the word. We can trust the word of God. We can trust it. And we need to trust it above all other things. You guys remember first, 2 Peter? 2 Peter is talking about when he saw Christ manifested on the transfiguration, where Christ, there he was, boom, right? And he showed himself for who he really was, and he's gleaming white. And Peter said, man, was that an experience? I was blown away by what I saw. But I'm telling you, even more than that, we have the Word of God, which is way more sure. It's way more certain to give me a clearer and better understanding. See, my eyes may fail me. My mind may fail me. My heart may fail. But the Word of God never fails. I want a clearer view of God. Where am I going to get it? I'm going to get in the Word of God. We can trust it. Why? Because it's inspired. God's Word is inspired. What does it mean it's been inspired? It means it's God-breathed, right? It's God's breed. God bore along the men who wrote the Scriptures. It's inspired and it's inerrant. It's inerrant mean it's without error. It's completely accurate to everything it speaks. Everything, it's right. It's inspired, it's inerrant, and it's reliable. The Bible we hold in our hand right here is reliable, and it accurately reflects the original manuscripts. When Paul sat down and he wrote it on that parchment, whatever it was called, it accurately reflects that we have the manuscripts to prove this is a reliable word of God. We can trust it. At the end of the day, folks, we all trust and we all rely on something. Some of us trust our parents. Some of us trust our friends. Some of us trust our gut feelings. Some of us trust our instincts. Some of us trust our emotions, our circumstances. We all trust and rely on something. What do you trust? What do you rely on? What's the thing you hold to? I hope it's the Word of God. It needs to be the Word of God. I've never flown a plane. I'm not the son of a pilot, nor am I a pilot. But I've heard when pilots get up in the air and the way up in the atmosphere, it gets real foggy and things start turning up upside down. And they can swear the way up is down and the way down is up because their whole senses are turned upside down. And they have two choices. Actually, they have one choice. They can either trust in their gut. They can trust in what they know. No. I took off and I went up. I know exactly what's going on. Or they can trust what? Their instruments. They can trust an objective standard. Something greater and bigger than themselves. And the pilots, they go off their gut. What happens to them? They crash and burn. But the pilots, you say, you know what? I'm going to trust the thing that's right. What happens? They land safe. So we have a choice. Are we going to trust God's word or are we going to trust something else? We can trust God's word. Why? Because God wrote a book and we can trust it. And we can trust it to let it show us who God is. Because at the end of the day, it's all about what? It's all about a clear view of God, right? A clear view of God. So if you can get fired up, we got to start with the word. If you can get fired up, you got to trust the word. And nothing gives us a clearer view of God than the Word. All right, Steve. You say, Steve, I'm sold, man. You had me back at hello. Of course I believe the Word is inspired. Of course I believe the Word is the authority. Of course I believe all that. Of course I want to get fired up with the Word. Duh, I'm at Harvest Bible Chapel, right? I'm with you, buddy. Show me how. Show me how. Hey, that's what we're going to do. To get fired up with the Word of God. How do we get fired up with the Word of God? The first thing we need is what? I have the right goal. The right goal. Right? We got to get the right goal. How do I get fired up with the Word of God? I got to get the right goal. And the right goal is to have a power view of God. And an insightful view of myself. Let me reiterate that. Another way to say that. It's to know God more. And to see where he's working in my life. Let me sum that down even smaller. It's to know Jesus Christ more. And it's to walk and live like Christ. Let me sum that up even more, right, with one word. The goal, the right goal, is Jesus. That's it. I am seeking and I am pursuing and I'm going after Christ. As I look in the Word of God, I'm not looking for information. I'm not looking for facts. I'm not looking for arguments of a theoretical whatever. Those stuff are great, but I'm pursuing Christ in the Word. That's what I'm going after, is Jesus Christ. The goal in one word is I'm pursuing Christ. I need to know Him more. I need to know Him. I need to walk like Him. I need to pursue Him. I want to worship Him more. That's the right goal. So what are some wrong goals? What are some wrong goals that can cause our worship, that can kill our worship? If we got a wrong view, if we got a wrong goal of God's Word, we got a wrong goal of why we pursue and go after God's Word, it's going to kill our worship, and it's going to take, imagine this fire, it's going to be like taking a bucket of water and going on that fire, right? So we don't want the wrong goal. Everyone said we don't want the wrong goal. So we got to know what those wrong goals are. Here's the first wrong goal. The wrong thing to do is to read the Word of God for information and not transformation. The wrong thing to do is to read the Word of God for information and not transformation. It's to go after facts and not to go after Christ. That's going to kill your fire. That's going to kill your worship. Imagine if, you guys ever see my wife? Whew, right? I got lucky. I married up. Imagine if I was dating my wife. We were going out on a date. I'm supposed to date my wife. I'm supposed to, you know, date her. Even 10 years after marriage, we're supposed to go out. So there we are. We sit down. I go to my wife, Jenny. I go, Jenny, what's your date of birth? Oh, 323. Okay. Well, what is your address? Okay. And confirming you are a natural blonde. Okay. I'm getting all these facts. How's that date going to go? Right? And if I'm going after my wife and I'm pursuing her, and I'm just going after facts, it's going to kill it. But if I'm pursuing her intimately and I'm trying to know her as a person, what's that going to do? Same thing with the Christ, with the Word of God. We're going after transformation. We're going after a clearer view of God. We need to come to the Word of God as an encounter with God, right? Saying, Lord, you're going to reveal yourself to me today. You're going to show me how awesome you are. Give me a clearer view of you and transform me. It's not about knowing the right facts. It's about knowing the right person, right? It's about knowing Christ. There's a reason why we call it dead orthodoxy. You guys know what dead orthodoxy is? How many of you have heard that term, dead orthodoxy? Okay, dead orthodoxy is the right teachings, but dead. There's no life in it. Why? Because it's all about facts. It's all about knowing the right information, and it's not about worshiping Christ. It's not about pursuing Him. It's not about becoming more like Him. It's not about knowing Him more personally, intimately, and walking with Him. You want a vibrant worship? Let's pursue Christ. I remember just the other day, Mr. Hutton comes into my office regularly. Takes up much of my time. Love you. Okay. We're sitting down, and we're talking about the thorn in Paul's side, right? What do you think that's? Oh, I think it was an eye disease. Oh, no. I think it was a guy that was... We're going back and forth. And he gave me all the reasons why he thought it was. What do you think it was? Messenger of Satan. Messenger of Satan to keep him humble? Humble. That's right. And I go, oh, no. Let me tell you why I think it was something stuck in the eye. There's something, oh, here, so he had an eye infection. I gave him all the reasons. So that's a good discussion. We ended that. How many guys think that would like kill your worship? That's not the point. Because what did Paul say after that? What's that? He said, my grace, no matter what you're going through, he says, my grace is sufficient for you. In your weakness, what did he say? I'm strong. That's the point. God's grace is sufficient to me. Who cares if it was an eye infection or an ear infection or a toe infection? The point was God's grace is sufficient, right? So we got to understand. It's not about information. It's not about facts. It's about going after Christ, what He is, who He is. And He is grace embodied, right? Christ is enough. Christ is enough. Read the Word of God for information, not transformation, will kill your worship. It'll kill your fire. Secondly, to read the Word of God because I have to. Anybody ever feel guilty if you don't read your Word? Like the day goes by and you're like, oh man, I feel guilty. I do. I feel guilty. Is this not a checklist? This is our time with God. Imagine going back to my beautiful wife, Jenny. She says, sweetheart, would you spend time with me? I go, Jenny, I want to be a good husband. Sure. Let's go ahead and have a date. All right, go ahead. How'd that date going to go? Right? I put on the clock. Hold on, sweetheart. Okay, took you out on Friday night. Check mark. Is that going to kill my relationship with my wife? What do you think that does to a relationship with our God? Right? It's not a checklist. It's not a checklist. We want to come to the Word of God. Not because God needs something from us, but because we need something from Him. Right? God doesn't want you to... God doesn't need you to come to the Word of God. We need to come to the Word of God to get a better view of Him. We come to the Word of God, not because we have to, because we get to. Because we get to see how awesome He is. It's not a checklist. This is like ice cream after dinner. This is not the broccoli. This is the dessert. This is like sweet, right? This is an awesome experience. You know, people... Hey, guys, ever been to Niagara Falls? You ever been to Niagara Falls? You've been to Niagara Falls? Why don't you raise your hand? Raise your hand if you've been to Niagara Falls. Okay? I've never been to Niagara Falls. But I tell you what, I want to go. Do you think that's something I feel like I have to go to? Why do you want to go to Niagara Falls? How many of you feel like, besides being dragged there by a spouse, how many guys, like, when you went, wanted to go there? You want to go. Why? It's awesome! You get there. I heard. I've never been there. It's like, right? And the water's clearing down. It's just this awesome experience. You get this view of it. A view of it that, like, you're blown away. Right? Is this a checklist that you do, like, begrudgingly? I gotta go to Niagara Falls. Right? Is that what we do? Well, I'm telling you, when we get a clearer view of God, it's nothing compared to Niagara Falls. And no one says, I'm going to go to Niagara Falls because I got to check a checklist. It's because it's going to be an awesome experience. But when we get a clearer view of God, it's an awesome experience. It compares to nothing on this earth. Right? So you want to see something awesome? You want to see something great? Let's get a clearer view of God. You got to read the Word of God, not for information. Don't read the Word of God because you have to. And the third thing that's going to kill your worship, the third thing that's going to kill and extinguish your fire as you approach the Word of God, if you're reading this thing, you come to the Word of God and you feel like, I got to earn God's approval. Like, I'm doing this so God can love me more. I'm doing this so God can like me more. I'm doing this so that maybe I'll earn a little favor from God. Is that you? Do you struggle with that? If you read the Bible out of guilt because you think you're going to earn God's love or approval, step into my office. Come on, let's go into my office. I'm going to sit you down, okay? And here's what I'm going to say to you. No! No, 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 no. God doesn't love you because you read the Word of God. God loves you because of who He is, not because of what you do. God doesn't accept you because you read the Bible. God accepts you because of what Christ did. You guys get that? We don't read the Word of God to earn God's favor. We read the Word of God because we have God's favor. We read the Word of God to experience God's grace. We read it to experience Him. We don't do it because we're trying to earn anything from God. God loves us because who He is. God wants you to read the Word not for Him. He wants you to read it for you. For you. He wants your life to get caught on fire. He wants you to get a glimpse of who He is. He wants you to live a life for His glory. The right goal is to know Jesus. The right goal, summed up in one word, is to know Jesus. It's to know Him more and to be like more Him. To get fired up, we need Christ. We need the right goal. You guys, you know what else we need? We need the right method. Right? We need the right method. That is actively seeking for God statements and me statements. I need to be actively reading for what God is telling me about God. God, what are you telling me? I'm in Genesis. What are you telling me? I'm in Genesis, sorry. The beginning. I couldn't fool you there. I should have picked the middle of the book. I'm in Genesis. God, what are you telling me about you? God, what are you telling me about me? What do I need to change? What do I need to go after to follow you and to worship you more, God? What are you telling me about you? And what are you telling me about me? So how do we do that? Let me help you. First of all, we've got to read prayerfully. Read prayerfully. We approach our time in the Word as a supernatural event. Like, you're coming. to learn and to see and to experience who God is. He's going to communicate with you when you sit down with the Word. So read it prayerfully. Read before you come. Read before you open it. Say, Lord, today I want you to show me who you are. Lord, today, I mean, just rock my word. Rock my word. Rock my world. Rock your word and rock my world with who you are, what you've done, what you're going to do. God, please, please show me today. And you're in the Word. Say, Lord, I don't get this. Help me understand this. Lord, how does this work in my life? So you're going to pray not only before, but you're going to pray during. You say, Lord, just transform me now. Show me in this passage as I'm reading. And when you're done, Lord, man, let me live this out of my life. Help me, God. Help me and strengthen me to live this out. Ask God to work in you each time you open this book. Ask God to reveal something about His character. Ask God to reveal something about you. And you know what Jeremiah 33 says? Call unto me and I will show you great things, great and awesome things. Pray to God and say, Lord, show me something great. You think He's going to answer that prayer? You better believe it. Imagine what your time in the Word would be like if every time we fell to our knees, we said, Lord, rock my world with who you are. We've got to read prayerfully. Excuse me. We've got to read with a plan. Here, we've got a second. We've got to read with a plan. Have some type of system, some type of structure to your reading, right? Some type of thing that's taking you through the Word of God. Don't read flippantly. You know, what are you reading today? I don't know. Looks like I'm reading Ephesians chapter 6, right? What are you going to read today? I don't know. I'm going to read Ephesians chapter 1. Hey, I'm in Ephesians a lot, right? You don't read flippantly. I remember my wife told me about when she was younger, her parents said, all right, sweetheart, we're going to play some soccer. So there she was on the soccer field. You want to know what my wife did on the soccer field? Ooh, flowers, right? Well, that's what happens. If we don't have a plan, we're going to be like that. We're just going to flippantly wander through. We're not going to get anything out of it. So don't read flippantly. Don't read sporadically, i.e., let's focus. Don't just pick here and there. Don't read flippantly. Don't read sporadically, and don't read sparingly. What do I mean by sparingly? Time in the Word. Don't be like, all right, Lord, rock my world. And they came to Jericho. That's good. Don't read sparingly. Go after it. Go after it, right? And it also means this. You say, no, Steve, I spend like 3 hours in my devotionals all day. Well, congratulations, right? But you say, oh, I'm on all the time. What do? Oh, I read a whole lot of, nothing against my daily breads, right? But what happens in my daily bread? You got the one word verse on top and a whole lot of what? Is that God's word? Someone else's word, right? I'm not saying anything wrong with that. Go for it. Bless you if you do that. But spend time in the Word. Spend time in the Word. Read prayerfully, read with a plan, and read practically. As you're reading, seek to apply what you read. James 1, be a hearer and a doer. Read the Word, know the Word, and do the Word. Do it. Go after it. We're going to will now, right? But you're saying, Lord, I'm going to apply this. I'm going to hear this. How does this apply to my life? If you're married and you're reading Ephesians 5 and it says, love your wife as Christ loved the church, you shouldn't be, I wonder how that applies in my life. Right? That's easy. Love your wife. Get down, right? Love your wife. Ask God. Say, God, what are you calling me to change as you read His Word? Lord, what in my life needs to change? Is it a belief about you? Lord, is it an attitude I've had towards the somebody in my house? Is it something I've been doing at work? Is it an action I've had? Lord, what is it I need to change? Read practically. God is calling us to change something. Either a view of Him, either an attitude we have, a focus on something we shouldn't be focusing on, an action we've been doing. God is always calling us to become more like Him as we get a clearer view of Him. What is God saying about Himself? What is God saying about you? What is God saying you have? Is there a promise for you to claim? Is there a sin you need to throw down? What is it? Apply it. You get fired up with the Word. We need the right goal. We need the right method. And lastly, you got to have a right response. The right response. Here's your right response. Life-changing worship. life-changing worship. If we do this right, our time in the Word will result in life-changing worship. Our time in the Word will bring us face to face with who God is. And as He reveals Himself to us, we're going to be blown away. You guys ever seen, here's a picture, when I think about blown away, you guys remember Back to the Future? Doc McBrown, he's got the hair, right? Like, that's what I think of blown away, like, whoa, God, right? Face to face with who God is as we seek after Him. And we come face to face, not only when we read His Word, not only we come face to face with who God is, what's going to follow right after that? We're going to come face to face with our own sin. And we're going to realize, man, not only do I need a change, we're also going to realize our need for a Savior. And it's going to cause us to go right and cling right back to the God we just got a better view of, who's full of grace. And He's saying, hey, we can work through this, right? As He reveals what He's going to work on us, He's revealing what He's going to change in us. It's going to see our need for a Savior each day. And we're going to bring us face to face with the reality of sin, the reality of this world, the reality of time, the reality of eternity. And it's going to make you long for something more. It's going to make you long for something greater. It's going to make you long to be with Christ as you see who God is in comparison to what the world and sin and the deceptions of the world is all about. It's going to bring you face to face with what Christ has for you, what you have in Christ. So you'll follow Him, you'll seek Him, and you'll worship Him more. The result is life worship change, life-changing worship. Time of the world, Word, man, one little letter gets you in a lot of trouble. Time in the world, not so good. Time in the Word, very good, right? Time in the Word will change the way you think. We can change the way you think. We can change the way you worship. We can change the way you worship. We can change the way you live, right? And that's what we're going after. So I just want to share a quick illustration. Many of you guys know I used to be a police officer. While I was a police officer, I was involved in a shooting. It was a very tragic incident. As a result of that incident, I got post-traumatic stress, severe depression, suicidal thought. I mean, I was just like a dark, dark time in my life. But I knew I was supposed to read the Word. Okay, I'm going to read the Word. Did my checklist. But better than nothing, right? Hoorah, right? Better than nothing. Pat on my back, right? Not really, but I'm doing my thing. And finally, little by little, God's grace, all of a sudden, I started just reading it to know who God was. And in my darkest hour, I'm sitting there reading the Word, and like that, you want to talk about mind-blowing worship that changed a life? Christ and who He was made my darkest hour, I look at my brightest moment. God, You are awesome! Wow, who cares what I'm going through? I mean, that stuff was still there. I didn't forget about it. It was still there. But you know what was bigger? You know what was awesomer? You know what was greater? God. I got that. I understood that. I saw a clear view of that as I read His Word. You can have that too as we seek after Him. So you know, I know what you're thinking. All right, Steve. I know what you're thinking. Steve, I'm in the Word. I'm just struggling, man. I'm not having that wow moment like you had. First of all, that wow moment was like, it was a long time coming, right? What happens if you're not having those wow moments? What happens if you're struggling? What happens if you're dragging your feet, right? When Emily doesn't want to go to her room, what does she do? Drags her feet, right? What if that's you in your time with the Lord? Here's some three things you can help you. Three things to do if your time in the Word is blah. Right? You're going to it and you're not seeing it. You're going to it and you're not feeling it. You're going to it and you're like, dude, what is up with this? Here's three things you can do. Check your intent. Check your intent. When you come to the Word of God, are you seeking God? Are you seeking to know Christ? Are you seeking to know Jesus? Or are you seeking to earn favor? It goes right back to what we were saying earlier. Nothing's going to kill your time in the Word if you're coming at it at a legalistic approach. The God of grace is not impressed with legalism. I'll say it again. The God of grace is not impressed with your legalism. You think your worship time, the very thing the God of grace is against, legalism, is going to blow you away with who He is when you're trying to be legalistic? No. Right? So check your intent. What are we going after? Are you seeking God or seeking favor with God? Here's another thing to do. Check your heart. Is there unconfessed sin? Is there maybe a sinful attitude, a sinful focus? I look back at my time during that dark season, and I was struggling. I was in a dry period. Was I in sin? Well, I knew this. I was focusing on the wrong things. I wasn't focusing on Christ. That's going to affect my worship. That's going to affect my time in the Word. You better believe it. Is there any unconfessed sin, unconfessed attitude, a wrong focus? Check your intent. Check your heart. Here's the third thing. Check your time. It goes right back to you. Those one-minute devos, one-minute time in the Word. It's not going to work. It's better than nothing. Don't get me wrong. Not legalistic. But let's get some time in there. Let's get some time in there. And we're all going to have dry spells. We're all going to have low points. We can't expect to live on the mountaintop every single day of our life. When's the mountaintop coming? When do we get to the mountaintop? Where is that? We get to the mountaintop when we get to go and be in God's presence all the time with no sin, nothing, right? Well, until then, we can't always expect to be on the mountaintop 24/7, right? I remember the first time I came to Harvest, right? Like the first like 3 months. This is so wonderful. Right? I was like, wow. Now I come to Harvest. It's great. Hey, yeah, man, I'm enjoying it, loving it. But I can't expect every moment, every time is going to have that high mountaintop, right? There's going to be valleys. There's going to be highs. There's going to be lows. And in those highs and in those lows, for whatever reason, maybe you got sin. Maybe God's working. If God's working, then there's sin to work on, right? Maybe God's teaching you. Maybe God's showing you. So be mindful of that. But whatever the reason why you have a low, whatever the reason is you have a valley, can I give you something to remember? An illustration? Guys, remember the train. You guys remember the train? You ever heard of the train? Train has three things, three parts to a train. What are the three parts to a train? The engine. What's the coal part? The part that put the coal in. What's that? The tender. Is that what they call that little section? The engine, the tender, and the caboose. Right? And the train is going to move with the engine and the coal thing, the tender thing, right? Does it need the caboose to move? No. Right? Well, that's what our walk needs to be like. The engine has got to be truth. The coal, let that be our faith. And the caboose, let that be emotions. And whether I feel it or not, I'm going to believe God's word. Whether I feel it or not, I'm going to trust what God's word says about who God is. I'm going to trust what it says about what I have in Christ. I'm going to trust what it says about the world. I'm going to trust what it says about my sin. I'm going to trust what it says about marriage. I'm going to trust what it says about God's grace. No, whether I feel it or not. And during those that train, trust in the word of God will get you through those dry seasons. I remember in another life, before I was a police officer, I was an ocean lifeguard. Imagine this in a swimsuit. I was going to put a picture up there, but I didn't want the ladies to struggle. Okay. So there I was, getting ready to take this big ocean lifeguard exam. And the exam was simply this: be the top 20 finishers. So all the greatest swimmers in all of Southern California showed up. Pepperdine champion swimmers, Stanford swimmers, UCLA swimmers, and little old bitty me, Steve Downs, right? And we're in the water, we're on the line. 13-foot waves crashing, right? Just hitting, like going everywhere. And I'm like, I ain't got a prayer. Okay? And I hit that water as fast as I could, and people didn't know which way was up, which way was down. But as we're swimming, it was Santa Monica Beach. And I just remember swimming. I knew this. I knew that the buoy, the thing I was supposed to get to finish the race, was just underneath the Santa Monica Pier. And you guys ever seen the Santa Monica Pier? It's this humongous thing that can be seen from an airplane. Right? So there I am doing this thing, right? Not knowing which way to go. But I see this humongous, stable, fixed, awesome circle, the Ferris wheel. So what do? I go, I don't know which way is right. I don't know which way is left, but I'm just going that way. I'm going to fix my eyes on that stable thing. And guess what? I became an ocean lifeguard. Whatever the waves are in your life, whatever the storms are crashing down on you, fix your eyes on the Word of God. Because the Word of God is going to give you a clearer view of who He is. And at the end of the day, that's what it's about. So remember Isaiah, remember Job, remember Peter. It was a clearer view of God that set them on fire. And that's what we need. Our time of the Word needs to be about getting a clearer view of God. Let's pray. Father God, I just want to thank you for this moment. I want to thank you for this time. I pray, Lord, that we would understand it's about you. It's about being transformed into your image as we seek after you. I pray, God, you bless everyone here tonight. In your name, Jesus, amen.
Appreciate it, Steve. Hey, so deep breath, inventory time. All right, so we hear that the Word has its value. We hear that it's absolutely God's trusted, authoritative position for us. Lock in on it, Santa Monica Pier. I'll trust you for that. So what's that mean for you? As you go home, and you're going to need to start digging into the Word a little bit, and we're going to do this piece by piece. Don't lose us. This is first night. And as we start talking about what we're going to do with worship next week, I'm telling you we're going to unfold even more that you haven't heard that we can start tying together that starts unleashing a whole approach. But this has to be the anchor. Truth comes from the Word. We're not making it up. It's not practical, and it's not private life experience. What does God say? All right? So my request to you as you go into the Word is dig deep. Steve said, clearer view of God, an encounter with your God. That's what you're going for, an encounter with your God. There was a point in time where I sat down and I just took an orange marker, and every time I read, I highlighted anything that God did, that God said, that God was, anything. A God statement got an orange highlight. Some of my Psalms, they're like all orange. You get done and you're like, the whole Psalm is orange. So what with that? What's up? I'm telling you, when you hit a low spot and you pick up your Bible and you can flip to orange and you're anchoring, it's a big deal. Those are like easy little suggestions to start encountering your God. You are not there to pass a quiz on which king was the third king after such and such an event, and who cares, okay? The blunt, that is a name and a word that does not change, but what is God doing in the midst of that event, and what is he revealing himself to be? That's what we're going after. If you can take the Word and all the truth that Steve just downloaded and go after that encountering, now you're mining deep, right? Can you imagine somebody comes up and they're like, you know, man, we're just not pulling any coal out of that mine anymore. And you're like, well, how's it going? What are you doing? And they pick up the spade and they're like, I'm digging with this. Well, you're not going to get anything that way. Where's the big, huge mining tools to dig down in deep on encountering your God? That's what you're going for. It might be slow. It might be methodical. You might be waiting on your God. Spend some time in that Word. Walking it through, maybe several times over. Let me just give you a secret for me. This is what I do now. If I can take that for and just rephrase a couple of things at a time, take a couple of words or a sentence and rephrase it into my words as to what I'm seeing God saying there, and then write down any of the action verbs, just those two things, action verbs and rephrase it, you will be amazed how that Word starts coming to life. And then you highlight what's the God truth that rocks your world. Who is this God? What is he doing? What is he saying? Just get some method that drills you into meeting your God. Okay? No time in the Word just to have facts. No information. Transformation. That's what we're going after. Everything that was presented tonight, so factual, so absolutely upbeat. Appreciate the sharing. We can go out and go, yeah! And then we go home and we do the same thing. We just flip open. We kind of do a quick read. It's not really hit me. I walk away and I'm like, God, it ain't working for me. I'm telling you, it's his Word. Every week when I preach, my goal is rock me here. If I am not brought to tears or brought to some form of euphoria in it, if I haven't gotten it, then there's something more I need to dig on. That passage has meat. What is it, God? Help me find you here. And by the end, I'm hitting Friday or Saturday, there's an encounter with him, and then I come share on Sunday what that is. Look into God's Word and always look for him. And you'll be stunned. That's it. All right? Simply put,